Welcome. Jeff Bowers. I'm sort of one of the original kind of authors of the Far Cry environment way back when, in sort of early noughties when it was originally conceived and then released as open source in 2003. Matt Bryant, who's the lead developer on the framework as it stands today and has been since version 4 of the framework, and also the CMS, which is distributed as well. The first thing to say is that Far Cry Core is what we typically talk about internally at Daemon as being the web application framework that builds the CMS. Far Cry CMS is the thing that most people understand or come into contact with Far Cry. By the end of today, if you manage to make it through the whole day, and even if you don't, we hope to have shown you some applications that are then really nothing to do with content management per se. They truly are just full-blown web applications that run the underlying framework. The framework emerged, if you like, from the CMS. Probably that separation, the complete separation, sort of happened around about the Far Cry 4 generation release. And since that time, it's really been refactored closer and closer and closer to being a pure framework side with a CMS solution that can be installed out of the box. And in fact, to that effect, I think the CMS has had a little bit of sort of short shrift in recent years in terms of it. We haven't spent the time and love to showcase the features that actually sit in the framework within that sample application, which is the CMS solution. And I think that will change in the near future, in that we're coming back now to the sample applications we have and reworking them to bring to the forefront those things that are new within the framework. What I want to talk about first today, in that this kind of 90 minutes, is a kind of a keynote, if you like, state of the nation, where we're at, where the community's at, how you can become involved in that community, and the things that we're doing to try and address some of the issues that the community has expressed. I'll give you a sneak peek at Far Cry 5.3, which is the next version of Far Cry to be released, possibly by the end of the year. More probably January, I think, is the sort of time frame, but we'll talk a little bit about those time frames in a moment. Far Cry 5.2 was released, kind of a stealth release about a month ago, but hasn't really been released to the greater community until probably today, I suspect, that we've got a version which is ready to go that should ship for the community. If we had time today, we'd probably ship it today, otherwise it'll happen over the course of CF Objective in the next couple of days. How many people are actually going to CF Objective? Everyone? Not everyone. Okay, so there's another talk at CF Objective about Far Cry. We will go into some detail about the view and stuff. But the wireless provider visitor Cold Fusion password, if you've got wireless, grab, type that down. It's the only slide I've got the information on. If you need it, I've got a printout here, and we can always bring it up a little bit later. But with that, let's get cracking. So keynote, then after morning tea, we'll be looking to have AJ show us a Rilo extension install, part of 5.2, the release that's kind of right out now, the freshest release. We have complete Cold Fusion 9 support and also Rilo support, which is the kind of leading open source Cold Fusion engine that's out there. The Rilo extension mechanism is a kind of a way of kind of going to the Rilo admin, choosing an app, and just having it kind of naturally, magically installed for you. And we've worked quite a lot with Rilo to make that happen. Also, Patterson Securities and Melbourne Law School will go through some quick case studies of what they've built with Far Cry. But after lunch, we'll look at 301, kind of a leap forward to the advanced concepts of Far Cry, taking that sort of Far Cry Dev 101 the next step further to kind of show you some of the framework features that are, I think, critical for building very large-scale applications. And then in the afternoon session, we've got it's kind of less a coding presentation and more a presentation about how we go about the business of gathering requirements, producing paper prototypes, and then architecting how a Far Cry application should be built. Essentially kind of wrapping up everything we've been talking about throughout the day, how views should be orchestrated within the system, how you'd build your different content types and components to actually build something quite sophisticated. And we go through a couple of very large applications that we've just finished recently, University of New South Wales media portal, UNSW TV, which is an enormously ambitious project by University of New South Wales, completely written end-to-end in Far Cry, and also yes, slided at the Web Awards because it didn't have all the sex appeal of Nick Cave or whatever the hell it was. But Yeah. The other one is the Vancouver 2010 Olympics website, which has just been launched on Far Cry as well. So we can go through both of those apps and, you know, go beneath the surface and actually show you what's been done, or talk about what's been done. All right, so first thing I wanted to talk about is the community. Far Cry community is relatively large. We have almost 700 people on our mailing list in terms of developer community. I think it surprises people how large a community Far Cry framework has, essentially, compared to the frameworks that people normally talk about. Mainly, I think that's because we're dealing with a package solution that a lot of people install. So a lot of people go out, download the CMS and install it, and just naturally they have the solution sitting there, and so they become part of that greater community. In terms of the
Google
search. A lot of Far Cry apps out there. So it's an astounding number of Far Cry 2.0 apps out there, which is just horrifies me. But
five companies that were claiming Far Cry
as their own solution, rebadging it and just selling it and stuff. So anyway, a couple of problems there. And we talk a little bit about that in the licensing when we look at licensing, how we've licensed it for an open source community and why we've done it the way we have. So in terms of forums, obviously we've got some great forum contributors like AJ, who's not here, AJ from Perth, and others who are regular contributors. In fact, in recent times it's been quite good because we have not spent a huge amount of time in the community forums internally in the Daemon team, although we have some reps that are regularly there, and a lot of people from the community have stepped up. So we've got some, you know, pretty regulars out of the US and the UK, Europe, who regularly kind of contribute to standard community forum questions. We love questions. Really ask. I can't say this enough for any open source community. If people actually get onto the forums and ask questions, it really motivates the members of that community to respond. People are using the product. They feel happy about that. They want to help you. They want to know what the problems are. And so please get into the forums and ask questions. One of our main contributors in the forums is Blair. This is the only kind of rare scrap footage I've got of Blair. But he's one of the Far Cry core committers that works at Daemon, and you'll see him on a regular basis there. He actually one of the principal architects behind a lot of the changes in the Far Cry 5 release, the rewrite of the security model and so on. All right, so I don't want to labour too much on these things, but if we can get people, encourage them to support the developers, get the community going, answering questions in the forum, I guess, is the next step on from actually asking questions. And I think this is something that a lot of open source communities have problems with in terms of angry people. We've had very few angry people in the Far Cry community. I think one of the only angry people we've had is probably the infamous Andrew Scott, who's been involved in pretty much every Cold Fusion community that's out there. And he's angry in his own special way, I think, but we don't really have a problem in the community. It's not a fractious community at all. It's very kind of happy community. So, documentation. From the community, one of the biggest issues we face is documentation. And it's hard for open source communities to put documentation together because it's the kind of least exciting aspect of the whole job. It is, however, critical in something as sophisticated a solution as the Far Cry Core framework, and we recognise it as a kind of a difficult thing that needs to be addressed, and we are addressing that quite aggressively in terms of... I think I'll talk a little bit about that right now, about the sort of things that we're looking to address that with. There's actually quite a lot of documentation that is already there in place. I think the biggest problem people have is trying to determine where that documentation is and where to look first. It can be a little bit overwhelming, and it's not particularly well organised, which can be problematic for people. So just to give you an idea of the documentation that is out there currently, there's a wiki where you can go for a huge amount of documentation in terms of there's a book of Far Cry, or the Far Cry Jumpstart course. It's a 10-unit course on various aspects of Far Cry. It's the first place you should go if you're learning Far Cry. We actually run an instructor-led set of courses, either face-to-face or online, directly through that particular Jumpstart course. Plus, there's a whole heap of reference documentation which explains in detail how lots of the various elements work. I think the big thing that's missing from us is some kind of a message as to how to bring all that together. Here's the beginner stuff. Here's all the advanced detailed stuff. somebody needs to give a kind of a story about how you actually combine those things together into a more advanced application. And we're working hard on that. The other issue we face is that there are various versions of Far Cry that are out there, and it's how do we version the documentation against the different versions of Far Cry. And that, for us, has been a very difficult issue because it's very time-consuming. And obviously, time-consuming and boring means for open source that most people don't get involved in it. So a couple of things that we've been looking at doing, which I think are pretty cool. Let me just show you those. And this is a little while ago, we started to comment the code inside Far Cry. I'll quickly show you that. We came up with a methodology for commenting that's not particularly unique. It looks a lot like, Java docs and other sort of people who have sort of pioneered and gone before us. We have this mechanism of defining how tags should work, custom tags. We use quite a few custom tags. We have these sorts of at. I don't know if you can see that too clearly. I'll just bump that up. We have this kind of at variable name and then some value, which could be quite descriptive and detailed. And without kind of showing you all the kind of detail behind that, because it's obviously a long document for different ways you can do things, we can describe things in detail, we can provide code examples, and we can certainly define all of the individual attributes of things like custom tags, functions, hint them, provide that documentation in line within the code. And the vision that we have for the documentation is literally to do everything we can in the code so that when we check it into Subversion, and we do a build script that runs over the top of the code, we generate all this documentation that is specific to the version that we're releasing, which is quite cool because it means that we can do quite a few interesting things. The first is we produce CF Eclipse dictionaries. So there are code hinting dictionaries and obviously kind of the inline stuff that you get typically for the Cold Fusion tags, you can get for all of the Far Cry tags and functions that are out there. The CF Eclipse dictionaries also work in CF Builder, and we also generate a TextMate dictionary if you're a TextMate fan. How many people are TextMate fans? Anyone? Me? I'm probably the lone person driving the TextMate stuff, but you can certainly pick up the TextMate bundle. There's incidentally a Cold Fusion TextMate bundle as well, which we are currently the custodians of at the moment. So those things for us are quite important. Also, the actual documentation itself. So I don't know how many people have actually seen this. Probably no one, I suspect. It's a little bit scrappy in its look, but it's kind of in its early stages. So we are building a website, effectively. It's just flat HTML, which is the exported extract of all of the content that surrounds a particular release. So the Far Cry 5.2 release, this has just come out. On the internet, keep going. It's only an HTML page, so hopefully it will. Okay, good. These are all the custom tags, for example, that are within the Far Cry library environment. Something you might use on a regular basis be something like skin view, and it details all of the attributes, hints about how they might work, etc. And then this stuff then gets translated into all of the Eclipse dictionaries and things that might be where you do your typical coding, the IDE that you're working with. When you get down to the structure for how Far Cry gets cobbled together, as it were, there's the core framework, and then there's a series of plugins, and then there's your project. And any specific project may be an assembly of any number of plugins and the core framework and everything else. So it's not enough for us as a development team to just provide documentation for the framework. What we're actually doing is providing a mechanism for providing documentation to our clients and anybody who's actually got that project. And so we're doing a couple of things. One, the framework documentation like this. This is the Far Cry API component. There's descriptions, there's individual code examples, although they're not formatted and so on. There's two things. One is this sort of static documentation of the code base, but the other is an actual dynamic documentation of the actual project and what you've built. And so we have a Far Cry Docs plugin, which allows you to dynamically extract all of the metadata from the application and generate literally a PDF of the technical specification of the document, which you can then, here's an Amazon rainforest, bang, smash it on the table and hand it to people. And we have some clients who are very particular about documentation, and these are where these sorts of things have arisen from. So there's been a two-pronged attack from us. One is documentation actually inline in the code, explaining how the code works, and in this case we allow descriptions and also code examples and so on. And then on the other side there's the actual what have I built side of things, which we extract and then provide as a document. And that's actually really quite nice in terms of automatically generating that code. It's good because when you do code review and you look through this stuff, you can see where people have cut and paste stuff all over the place and it's not quite right, and it's much easier than trying to get a view of that from, you know, 100 different files when you've just got one file explaining a summary of everything. So that works quite well. I think Matt will show Far Cry Docs kind of working a little bit later on. This is simply an extension of Far Cry Docs running. So a lot of effort from us to try and get documentation in place, and as I say, pretty much all of this is running today and will gradually be released to the community over the next couple of weeks. And the next step is to really produce some guides which tie these things together. You know, if you're working with form tools, this is the reference and these are the things you might do, and to try and make that whole transition from beginner developer to experienced Far Cry developer a lot easier. And again, we've got some plans for that. All right, so next thing is bugs. We have a problem in the community sort of managing bugs and dealing with bugs. One of the worst things that we have are people who say, yeah, I fix that every version of Far Cry, it's a joke, blah, 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 but never actually register the bug. It's almost one of the most frustrating things where they hear is people who have actually fixed something, not reported it, and then complain about the fact that it's not been fixed. It's almost the most frustrating thing on earth. But we do try and respond to bugs. We get a lot of bugs which are just not really bugs. They're kind of user issues, or they're issues with people's implementations, or the system really doesn't do that and it's a feature that's being requested and so on. But essentially, I think we love to see bugs. We love to hear about them. Please register bugs whenever you can. The other thing is, once you report a bug, the sort of thing that you want to look at doing is actually defining it so that we can fix it. That's a critical aspect of any kind of bug reporting. I can't tell you how often we just get a bug that is a generic cold fusion error with no explanation surrounding why that particular error occurred. Of course, it's a framework. We don't know whether it's the framework that's erroring or it's actually the person's implementation of the framework that has caused the problem. So providing that detail can be great. And we're seeing more and more now, because we've been around for 5 years plus as a community, we're beginning to see I guess a bit of a snowball effect of people actually providing fixes. We're actually seeing these fixes coming through, the actual code is coming through, and typically we may not use the code at all, we may rewrite it, but essentially giving us a fix tells us exactly what the problem is, basically. Whether we address it exactly that way or not is another thing. So providing fixes, I think we wanted to sort of say that if you are providing fixes, I don't know if there's some people who are coming that do provide fixes regularly. If you can patch something, if you understand patching, provide us with a patch, that's great. If you don't understand patching, then giving us the entire file is the best thing. Giving us the one line code entry for line 50 needs to be changed to this is the worst thing you can do, because by the time we get to it, it may no longer be line 50, it might be line 28 or whatever. So providing fixes if you can. Patching, it's great. Otherwise, full pages, full templates is also good. For us, in terms of our workflow, it's nice to be able to apply the patch and see what happens and see where that's going, because it's basically saying fragment. It's good if there's a multi-file fix, for example. You can see the problems that are there. And you're right, it may be we've deleted the file completely, but we see straight away what you're talking about in terms of the fix. Whereas if it's three templates you're giving us that are the complete templates, then it might be harder, especially if we've removed a template, to understand what it is you're actually changing without having to roll back, diff, and it's just easier if we have the patch. But the full file is also fine. We can diff it, that's no problem, and compare exactly what's going on.
Do both.
Yeah, both is fine. So seriously, if we get the fix, it's good. It's better. It's like we've already won half a dozen battles if we've got that far. So new features, actually a lot of new features come out of requests for fixes, or people actually in the community just asking for things. We love this because pretty much everything in Far Cry is based on requirements. We don't like a commercial product, for example, say, okay, version 5.4 is coming out. What kind of crazy things will people like? Let's plan those items because we can now sell the product with these new features. We're literally just looking for what the community needs. And pretty much most of the stuff we put in, or nearly all the stuff we put in as a company, is based on a thing we call coreification internally, which is literally stuff we've built for clients that is cool. We might have put it in as a plugin or something that's customized in their project, and we figure that's really great. We want to bring that into the entire community, into the actual framework itself. And so we see these migrations of functionality coming in from actually real-world working applications. And it's good because it means if it doesn't really work too well in the real world, or it's very specialized, we're not just throwing it into the framework in an effort to throw functionality in there. A lot of the stuff that we do in Far Cry allows us to very clearly separate functionality into what we call plugins, that you can, you know, do whatever you really like inside a plugin and not have to worry about changing the framework to accommodate it. And one of the most important things we have when we do create new features are people that actually take the latest build and test it before we send it live. Testing's become much more important to us over the last couple of years as the framework grows and grows and grows, more and more plugins come in place, becomes a more and more sophisticated environment. We have started to implement some quite rigorous testing regimes. MX unit test, for example, is a code base which is quite popular in terms of unit testing out there in ColdFusion world. We have the Far Cry MX Unit Test plugin, which you can plug in. It automatically provides a hook in. If you know how to write an MX Unit Test, you're away. You can write 100 tests. But we also have a whole heap of hooks that hook straight into the Far Cry framework for testing specific things in the Far Cry framework, which is quite nice. So we can run all these unit tests. We can automate the unit tests running, and it helps a great deal, especially when you're doing something that's quite complicated. I was going to say, if anybody out here is going to race out and build new code features, please talk to us first, discuss the feature on the list. Chances are it may already have been built and just be awaiting kind of coreification. We may have some ideas about how that might work best with the framework. We love new features, we really do, and the worst thing on earth is to have someone build something which we have to trash and we can't use. Simply because we've done it another way already, or because it's just not going to fit within the framework. It really kills their enthusiasm and motivation for doing anything in the future. So we love to try and talk about that as much as possible. And to that effect, we do go out there and literally sort of try and document in advance what we're doing before we go to the business of building something. For example, for 5.3, we've had quite a few things going on. We have a thing called the cage. The cage! And so underneath the cage, we typically put what our larger changes are likely to be. So if I quickly just show you this cage example. Up in there. Here we're looking at changing the general overview of objects inside Far Cry. And we're providing wireframes for how that might be done. How these secondary and primary calls to action will work by default, how you'll be able to override those, put in status bars, the view hierarchy, how those views will be combined together. So we're trying to really kind of engage people to say, this is what we're thinking, this is how it's going to work. If that's not going to be good for you, let us know now so we can accommodate your particular situation. This is quite an advanced kind of feature in 5.3 that you really don't need to understand at all as a developer. It just works. But we like to be able to put out there to say this is what we're actually doing underneath the scenes. And it gives people, I think some certain type of developers have a real fetish for the nuts and bolts of what's going on. And understanding the nuts and bolts gives you a much better appreciation of how to build stuff. And so we try our best to provide that information. So again, there's a lot of documentation in there. And I think one of our biggest failings is literally just providing an avenue to get to that documentation so that people actually understand what's going on, how it works. Okay, so in terms of code management, a couple of things that I don't think a lot of people realise. Daemon effectively owns the copyright on all the code within the Far Cry core codebase. It is released under GPL, so it's the GNU Public License is a very kind of copyleft aggressive license that allows you to share that code base. It can have some complications in commercial environments, so we provide a commercial license as well. The ability to do that really rests upon the fact that we own the copyright. And so you need a single copyright holder to be able to offer dual licensing and other aspects of it. So that's one of the predominant reasons. If you contribute anything substantial to the code base beyond a fix, you do need to relinquish the copyright to Daemon. But having said that, it's still released under GPL, so you can do whatever you like with it. It's really just a case of us being able to master the licensing and do the things that we need to be able to do with it. And that's not uncommon, actually, across most large open source code bases these days. The new ones, the old ones, are totally fragmented to hell. You end up with situations like Mambo, where Mambo was an extremely popular PHP CMS solution, which forked in 2005 to become Joomla. So Mambo and Joomla shared the same sort of code base. Mambo forked again in 2006 to become Elsys, which is like a Greek CMS. It forked again in 2007 to form Eliro. Surprise, surprise. It forked again in 2008 to be Bina CMS. I haven't checked the current status of Mambo, but I suspect it wouldn't surprise me if they forked again in 2009. Why does this happen? I think it happens specifically because they lack direction in their primary core committing dev team. And they have so many hang-ups about the vision for moving forward that the dev teams get extremely frustrated and say, look, if I can't move forward all these changes I've made, I will fork the code base and build my own solution with the changes. And that's exactly what's happened. I think it's probably, without being too damning about the Mambo code base, it's probably a fact that Mambo is not a particularly good code base to provide extensions and functionality to. It's pretty rigid. Joomla, which started as a copy of Mambo, I think have pretty much completely scorched earth their code base and rewritten a whole heap of stuff from scratch. And that's why you see this quite large division and separation now from the Mambo community. Joomla is really a very different product, whereas these other ones are much closer to the kind of Mambo style of things. But incidentally, we don't have any problems of that nature currently inside Far Cry. Obviously, Daemon still represents the kind of powerhouse of feature change and development. So we don't have any problems in making decisions about what we're going to put in the code base. So just to quickly talk a little bit about open source, because I think it often surprises me how little people understand this kind of aspect of the community. There are a huge number of open source licenses. For example, if you went to Open Source Initiative, which is kind of a semi-officious body about, you know, who's officially open source and who's not, there are over 75 licenses in open source. And they're all different, so it makes, you know, life pretty hellish if you're trying to work out what implications there may be when implementing open source. Effectively, all of those licenses have these three core requirements. One, you can freely distribute the code base. Two, you actually see the source code. And three, you can create derived works from that original source code base. But the good news is these essentially break down into two different types of license. There's the BSD-style license, which effectively is the Apache community, the MIT, BSD, CPL, all of these sorts of style of licenses. And the other camp is the GNU public licenses. There's a couple of different ones, GPL, LGPL, AGPL. And the distinction that I sort of make between them is that the BSD-style license, that's where you give your software to people. You don't really care about the future of that software. You're literally just giving it away. Whereas the GPL license enforces people to share any changes that they make. If you redistribute the code, you must redistribute the source and so on. So, interestingly enough, Far Cry used to be common public license. And as of Far Cry 5, we changed to GPL. And at the moment, for Far Cry 5, for GPL, that's what it is. If you download the community distribution, you can also purchase a commercial license, which frees you from any of their obligations of the GPL license. It's something we encourage people to do. Obviously, our own clients, it's a revenue source to help keep the community going. But as people who are actually building solutions in Far Cry, we have a partner program where you can take effectively a 20% commission on the license sale of the commercial license to do whatever you like. So if you have your own client and you sell that in, you can take a commission from the sale of that license. And it entitles them effectively to work on the basis of a normal commercial license, say like the Cold Fusion license. You can build derivative works, you don't have to distribute them, you own them, you retain your own intellectual property, and so on.
What's the position of plugins in all of that?
Okay, so plugins, we have an extension to the GPL license to allow plugins to be GPL compatible licenses, and the plugins that we release are released under LGPL so that they can, if they're community orientated plugins, so that they can be used with the commercial license if you choose to. The other thing we have is some commercial license plugins. So one of the things that we'll be doing over the next month is releasing a kind of a big sweetener for people who want to use the commercial license, in that we have our own internal library of plugins, which we use for all kinds of things. Literally, we have plugins for dynamically hooking up to Amazon S3 CDN, for doing all kinds of tagging mechanisms and nice UIs for assistive vocabularies for tagging and so on. All of these plugins, we've looked very hard at selling them. You know, we could sell the plugin, but they're very difficult because they're all tailored libraries. Like, you've got a plugin. If you want something to just drop in and work and be configurable in 100 different ways, it's extremely time-consuming to make something like that. And would somebody pay the money that that was worth? Probably not. So we've had difficulty trying to sell commercial licenses, even internally, to the point where we don't even try unless it's a specific client we're dealing one-to-one with. You know, so a third party can't buy our commercial license. We want to be able to make that possible. So we're saying, if you have the commercial license in Far Cry, you can have access to any of our commercial plugins for free, you know, as is. So no support, no nothing. If you've got the code, you can do what you want with it and use it in the context of the commercial license. So if other people out there, other contractors out there, other consultancies out there want to use it, they sell a commercial license to their client, and then they can redistribute and do all these things with our commercial plugins. And we at least derive revenue for the community via the license sale, and we don't put any obligation on ourselves for support for those commercial licenses for the plugins that are out there. So if Rocket Boots develops a commercial plugin, you could sell it in their own right, but it would only work on the commercial licensed Far Cry. So you'd have to have a client with the Far Cry license, and then your commercial plugin could come in play.
So a plugin is considered a derivative work of the Far Cry?
It has to be, because it literally extends the core, and that's why we have an extension to the GPL to say that you can extend the core with a GPL-compliant license, in the GPL sense, and also the commercial license if it's a Far Cry commercial license. Yeah. I think that's the best way of describing it. The same is true for your project. So the project is something that you would own, and we don't want to try and imply a kind of a license over it. But yeah, it's I think it's important. It's good that you asked the question, because it's a subtle distinction that nobody seems to take on board. If you worked with Drupal, for example, or Joomla, or Mambo, or any of these products which are GPL, then it just astounds me. Nobody even discusses it. It's like, oh yeah, we built the commercial site in Drupal, which is a classic. Drupal are extremely militantly GPL, and you go, but you realise that any customization you've done is now GPL distributable. What's that mean? No idea. Well, it means literally you can't do any project under an NDA. You can't, as soon as you have an external developer works on that project, they may not distribute the code, they're not forced to distribute it, but they are fully within their rights to post it on the internet and allow anyone else to download it and play with it. The GPL doesn't force you to give your code away. It just means that anyone who's interacting with it can give it away if they want to. So you have no protection from that accidentally spilling out into the community. So yeah, you could have a special covenant between your client and the consultancy that's building their solution, and no one may ever break that covenant. But any employee, ex-employee, current employee, accidentally, you can just distribute it, and there's no redress. You can't stop that redistribution. And I don't say that to you know, put the fear of God in people, but if you are a commercial entity that worries about that, then you need a commercial license, and that's easier. Just buy the commercial license. And yeah, there are options for site licenses and so on. but don't, it's not a kind of a flogging of the license thing. Financial contributions, always gratefully received. I don't know how many financial contributions we've had, probably can't count them on one hand. Very few. But we don't put a PayPal button on the website. Maybe we should put a PayPal button there. And you'll see what happens. But some communities get a lot of kind of stuff from that. We our financial commissions tend to be of the sort of the next sort of slide. But vendors, Adobe, there's no one from Adobe here. Give us ColdFusion for building ColdFusion open source licenses. Give us ColdFusion for free. Consider buying a commercial license. And the most important thing, this is where we make our money really as a company, is people from the community engage us for services. And we do mentoring, training, complete builds, end-to-end support. So, sponsored development. This is another interesting area for licensing. I know there's a little bit of science, not really code, and we'll get onto the code in a moment. But we have some clients out there that do huge sponsored development. Sponsored development is different from asking somebody to build a particular feature for you. Here, build this feature for this price. If you are sponsoring development within an open source code base, you are effectively... You've made the decision that the changes that you add to that code base may well change in the next version. I may have said, I want this feature, it's really cool, and the community goes out and says, actually, that feature's crap, we're going to do it this way. And your investment in that, if you like, sponsorship, is at the whim of the community. I mean, it very rarely happens that somebody actually pays money to build something that then gets tossed away, because typically it's something that's needed. But it's a different type of sponsorship. Mayo Clinic in the US, one of the largest ColdFusion sites in the world, runs end-to-end Far Cry, and they sponsor a huge amount of development within the Far Cry framework. Like, they'll have a vision for what they want to implement in their solution, and so we'll go about the business of doing a massive refactoring. We couldn't possibly afford to do it otherwise. It already works in a certain way, it just doesn't work quite the way you want. But, you know, you put up with it because the investment to actually make those changes is very large. Someone like Mayo can afford to make the investment to make the sponsorship changes. And they do that with other groups. I think they did that with Model Glue as well. They might have made an investment in Cold Spring, I don't know. But certainly Model Glue in the early days. And we still do a lot of work with Mayo. It's a tremendously successful site for us. The other thing you need to think about, obviously, is relinquishing your IP. So any intellectual property that you might have over it, if it goes to an open source community, you lose it. I think the puppy dogs there are supposed to be, you know, the difficulty in giving something up that's so wonderful and cute that you love so much. But anyway.